Welcome to The Piketon Massacre, a production of iHeartRadio and KT Studios. On the morning of April 22, 2016, the small town of Piketon, Ohio, awoke to some horrifying news. Spread out across four homes, all within a few miles of each other, eight members of a local family, the Rodens, were found murdered. They were shot execution style in their beds, the victims of a methodical killing spree. It was an unprecedented and confounding crime, one that would launch the largest homicide investigation in Ohio's history.
Frustration, anger, sadness, emotions are still raw in Pike County.
Most of the people in this town say whoever shot and killed eight members of the Roden family need to be found soon.
I hope that the law enforcement in this area apprehend each and every one. These aren't people, these are monsters.
Episode 2, Wagner's in Custody. I'm Courtney Armstrong, a TV producer at KT Studios with Stephanie Leidecker and Jeff Shane. We produce television series and documentaries. Here's Stephanie.
For me, this case was incredibly disturbing and personally really hard to stop thinking about. Eight people from the exact same family, all killed in one night, but at four different locations. That's extremely strategic.
The three of us have been following this case very closely for years. Here's producer Jeff Shane talking to Jody Barr, an investigative journalist who reported for TV station Fox 19 in Cincinnati.
You're not, as a journalist, easily shocked, but like this was shocking probably, right?
Yeah, it was shocking. I would say it was more confusion because on the typical murder or, you know, a breaking news story, you can roll the events in your mind, but this isn't the typical murder. You know, where there's one or two victims in a single house and the bad guy took off. You know, this was something way outside the norm. You're just thinking, what is going on here? None of this makes sense, but you knew it had to be something big because you got eight members of one family targeted, murdered in their sleep, in their homes, and the killers seemingly vanished. We didn't know the pieces. We didn't know how to put it together. There was no information coming out about these murders, about motives. Even the family members who were in direct communication with law enforcement, even they weren't being told anything. I mean, call it good investigative work and, you know, you hold your cards close to the chest as an investigator. Maybe that's what it was. But, you know, from the outside looking in, it was almost like law enforcement didn't have a clue at that point in time.
An overwhelming amount of tips have been pouring into police, but no arrests have been made yet.
Ohio Attorney General Mike DeWine is saying that over 200 investigators and police officers have contributed so far to this ongoing investigation.
A reward is being offered, but the killer has disappeared.
As the investigation dragged on, rumors ran rampant in the close-knit community. And journalists like Jody Barr started digging deeper.
This did seem to be a very tactical, a very clean sort of, you know, when you think of an assassin doing a hit like you see in the movies, you started to wonder if there wasn't something to that because of just how seemingly clean these killings were. I mean, how does one person or a group of people hit four separate homes, kill eight different people, seemingly leave absolutely no trace of any evidence? What does this mean? What is going on here? But after I started having conversations with the Roden family and you start talking to some people who were very close to the victims in this case, at least very close acquaintances, you started to realize that, you know, that there were some people that even I had conversations with in Pike County who I knew they knew more than what they were telling me. I knew they knew more about what happened that morning and they knew more about the circumstances surrounding the Rodens that could have led to these murders, but they would not tell it. And I don't know if it was because they were afraid or they didn't want to believe what they believed happened, but all we kept hearing from the Roden family, from the people around there, and they would phrase it this way, is that it was locals. What did that mean? We didn't know.
By the summer of 2018, the investigation had entered its second year, and Piketon residents like Barbara were becoming increasingly scared.
It's an extremely sinister thing that occurred. It's like a movie. When I was young, people got along and, you know, it was, we left our doors unlocked. You know, it was that trusting and relaxed in Pike County. So we couldn't believe something like that would happen here. And it was especially terrifying because no one knew who did it or why. And you don't know if your family's next.
It's just a grisly scene and a grisly situation.
If you are fearful, arm yourself. If you feel that you need to protect yourself or family, do so.
On November 13th, 2018, everything was set to change. Here's Governor of Ohio, Mike DeWine, then Attorney General.
Well, good afternoon. We promised that the day would come when arrests would be made in the Pike County massacres. Today is that day.
In a series of arrests that sent shockwaves through the insulated community, six members of a local family, the Wagners, were taken into custody.
Pull it out! Just walk out! Keep your hands up! Don't race for nothing!
Back out of there!
47-year-old Billy Wagner is the patriarch of the Wagner family and was arrested near Lexington, Kentucky in a horse trailer that was pulled over.
Go down to your knees. Hands behind your back. Hands behind your back.
Angela Wagner is Billy's wife and matriarch of the Wagner family. The 48-year-old was arrested at their home near Piketon, Ohio.
Go ahead.
Angela Wagner in the car, 21.
Copy, 1331.
Angela and Billy's two sons, George Wagner and Jake Wagner, were arrested together during a traffic stop. George was 27 and Jake was 26. 76-year-old Frederica Wagner, Billy Wagner's mother, was arrested at the family's horse farm, the Flying W. Angela Wagner's mother, 65-year-old Rita Jo Newcomb, was arrested at her home. While six members of the Wagner family were arrested in connection with the crime, Billy, Angela, George, and Jake Wagner were charged with 8 counts of aggravated murder.
Details about the arrests of 4 people and the murders of 8 members of the Roden family back in April 2016.
Mike Allen, a criminal defense attorney and legal commentator for Fox 19 in Cincinnati, was covering the story when the news broke.
All the arrests happened within minutes of each other. And that tells me that the BCI, the Ohio Bureau of Criminal Identification, who was in charge of this investigation, they know what they're doing, and they wanted to make sure that they effected these arrests without any kind of problems or tipping anybody off. So they had that thing down pretty tight. You've got 4 people charged in the murders themselves. It's aggravated murder, and that's capital murder in the state of Ohio that does have the death penalty as a possible penalty in a case like this. So it is a death penalty case.
How rare is it to have multiple capital murder cases going? I haven't seen 4 people up for capital murder in Ohio before.
I've been in the system for over 50 years, and the most I've seen were 2 co-defendants being tried for capital murder from the same set of facts, but never 4. So that is extremely rare that you got 4 people, 4 defendants facing the death penalty.
The charges for the 2 other family members were less severe. Grandmother Frederica Wagner, Billy Wagner's mother, was charged with obstruction of justice and perjury. Angela Wagner's mother, Rita Newcomb, was charged with forgery, perjury, and obstruction of justice. But to Mike Allen, one charge brought against the alleged trigger pullers makes one thing clear.
They're also charged with conspiracy, engaging in a pattern of corrupt activity, which means that they all work together on this. I think it's obvious, at least to the prosecutors and the investigators, that this thing, it was nobody freelancing. They were possibly all operating together. Tampering with evidence, that kind of speaks for itself. I mean, you know, once they knew that they were the focus of the investigation, perhaps they did something with the evidence.
We're going to take a quick break here. We'll be back in a moment. We needed to know more about the Rodens and the accused, the Wagners. We also wanted to be in Piketon to learn about the town, so Stephanie, Jeff, and I flew to Ohio.
There was this extremely eerie vibe to the town. There definitely was a sense that something very big was happening real time. It almost felt, it felt a little dangerous.
I think eeriness, as you said, is the best word. Like, just something was not right.
Yeah, and it's not uncommon. It was a perfect American small town, right? There's one diner. There's not a movie theater. So, again, small, insulated.
And, you know, we just started trying to go door to door to meet anyone who could tell us about the Roden family.
I would say every single person we spoke to legitimately invited us inside and could not have been lovelier.
There also was the experience of knocking on doors, knowing very well people are there. There was smoke coming out of the chimney. We physically saw the curtains be closed, and certain people understandably didn't want to speak to us. But those who did, they were so welcoming.
We reached out to journalist Jeff Winkler, who was doing research on the Wagner family.
For me personally, when I first got an idea of how the Rodens lived and, who was related to who and whatnot, I think I originally had the sense that the Wagners were in the same sort of position in terms of property and perhaps financial situation and whatnot. But the Wagners, I'd be rather surprised to learn that they had, you know, a huge farm. They'd been running various farm businesses on this huge bit of land, were landlords, and there were something of a sort of a family, if you will, in the area. And you know, there were people that we spoke with that had some very open thoughts and loving thoughts about the family.
In all this, we couldn't help wonder, how could this esteemed Piketon family allegedly be responsible for Ohio's most horrific murder? It seemed like everyone had an opinion. Here's Angie Montgomery, a Piketon resident.
When the Wagners were arrested, you had your 50-50. You had people that said, yes, I knew that they did that. And then you've got people that say, there's no way those people did that.
But we wanted to get the story for ourselves, to talk to those who actually knew the people accused of carrying out these ruthless murders.
Hello.
Hi, Dore. It's Jeff Shane calling.
Hi.
Hi, how are you? Is now a good time?
Yeah.
This is Dore McAlevey. She's Billy Wagner's cousin, and she grew up with the Wagners.
Were you close with Billy?
Billy was quite a bit younger than me. I was about 11 years old when Billy was born, but I was raised with him, and we had a whole lot of fun. It was so much fun. We all bred horses, and we lived in Ohio, and it was beautiful, and it snowed in the wintertime, and it was beautiful in the summer, and we just had so much fun. It was unbelievable.
He was like a really good dad, right? Like a hardworking, just like sturdy, like good person, right?
All for his family. Mm-hmm. All for his family.
Dore's depiction of her aunt, Frederica Wagner, was just as glowing.
I spent my summers with my aunt Frederica. It was awesome because we rode horses, we rode ponies, did all kinds of awesome stuff.
I've heard the nicest things about her, that she was like an angel in that town.
She had to have been an angel in that town, because what I seen for her, what she did for the community, she built a church for the community. She financed the church for the community. She loved people. She loves children.
But we were curious, what did Dore think about the charges against her family?
Our family joke is that there's no way that Betty Crocker and the Doe Boys could ever go to an extreme of murder. It's not within their capabilities. They love animals and they love people, and they are really good at being resilient. And if you look up the word hillbilly and you really research that word, they were very resilient in taking care of their family. Somebody did it, but it wasn't them.
To get more information on 27-year-old George and 26-year-old Jake Wagner, Angela and Billy Wagner's sons, we reached out to Christina Howard. Christina's sister Tabitha was married to George Wagner. The pair later divorced. Christina spoke with Stephanie Leidecker about the time she spent with the Wagner family.
My sister spent a lot of time over at George's house before they got married. She was pretty much living with him at the time before she got married. And then after she got married, she moved in with him. And I used to go over there to their house every now and again,
And did he seem like a nice guy? What was his demeanor like?
He was funny. He was always cracking jokes and stuff all the time, so.
I don't know much about Jake Wagner at all. What was he like as a kid?
He was actually really sweet as a kid. We got along pretty good because, we just hung out all the time, played video games, went outside.
Was he shy?
He wasn't shy with me. He was a really nice kid, and, growing up, my sisters were kind of bullies to me, and Tabby, she was dating George at the time, and Tabby, she would pick on me, and Jake, he would take up for me and be like, hey, don't pick on your little sister like that, that's mean and stuff.
Here's a Wagner family relative. She asked us not to use her name, but was happy to talk to us about the family. She remembers Angela Wagner as a caring mother with a big heart.
Angela was just so sweet. Like, she was the sweetest lady. Anybody could ask her for help. I know there was multiple times where there was just, she had heard, there was a woman and her daughter that was getting out of an abusive relationship, and Angela had just heard about it. She didn't know this lady, she had no idea anything about her. She just knew that this woman and her daughter, needed help. So Angela went and helped her get out of that. She gave her a place to stay. She made sure that the daughter had clothes and food. And, she would always do stuff like that for people.
Everything we were hearing about the Wagners seemed at odds with this image of the cold-blooded killers accused of murdering an entire family. But the deeper we dug, the more secrets we began to find. Jeff continues speaking with the same anonymous Wagner relative who speaks so glowingly of Angela Wagner. As it turns out, not everyone in the Wagner family has such a sterling reputation. And when the conversation shifts to Billy Wagner, things take a turn. Here is the Wagner relative's firsthand account.
Do you know when she met Billy and when they got married and how that relationship started and progressed?
She has been with him for 20 something years, maybe longer, but as far as he goes, now that's a different, I and my family, we always kind of thought something was off with him. We never got to connect with him in that way. Everybody always kind of knew that there was something strange, or that he was kind of, he just had this persona about him, he was just a very cold and just hateful person, really, is what I thought of him anyways. He was just a very rough, around the edges guy. And when it comes to him and Angela, I'm not sure really on how the beginning of their relationship was, but I know towards the end, right after all this happened, he was just very controlling. Very controlling. She was afraid of him, extremely afraid of him, as were the boys. Now their oldest son, George, him and his dad, they were kind of the same. I don't believe that they're good people at all.
So what can you tell me about the relationship between Angela and Billy Wagner?
I do know that Angela was, she was just afraid to leave. She was afraid to leave. She was terrified that if she did try to leave, that he would find her. Because he made that very clear, from what I've heard and what her father had said on multiple occasions, you're not going to leave.
Let's stop here for another quick break. We'll be back in a moment. This account of Angela and Billy's relationship piqued our curiosity, so we started poking around for more information about the Wagners. Most of what we uncovered had to do with Grandmother Frederica Wagner, Billy Wagner's mother, and what seemed to be some potentially questionable business practices. I followed up with journalist Jeff Winkler to find out more.
Frederica Wagner was repeatedly referred to as, you know, a God-fearing woman, was running a nursing home and doing a lot of community service and community care for people. But, like, the Wagners had a lot of different sides to them.
Exactly. And she had started a church as well. And
right,
she took underprivileged kids. If people needed groceries, she brought them groceries. So there is all of that. And then on the flip side, many other people say they were very secretive. There's also allegations of, for example, in the nursing home, maybe some dishonest business and perhaps cheating people who were at a disadvantage out of money. And these are substantiated court documents.
Yeah, the longer we looked into it, the longer it seemed like the Wagners, you know, apart from having property and been there for a long time, they were wheeling and dealing. And I think, although they were sort of pillars of the community, involved in the community, certainly, I think that sort of, especially when you have that sort of much to lose, you get protective. Frederica Wagner had very much built the family business. Frederica Wagner was the one who kept the family business going. She kept the family businesses on track. And, you know, when you are building an empire, the last thing you want to do is to see it fall. And they were working on their fourth generation of Wagner dominance in the area. So I can definitely understand sort of protectiveness of that. And in those cases, you know, maybe you close ranks a little bit. You stick to kin. You know, blood is thicker than water.
As we talked to more people in the community, we found that these rumblings about the Wagners' business practices had been circulating for years, and some held a deep distrust of the family and their once sterling reputation. Jeff got Barbara's thoughts about Grandmother Frederica Wagner.
All I've ever heard about her is I've heard how wonderful she is, how generous she was. I never heard a bad word about that woman, but just, you know, she knew what she was doing and she just did what she could do to keep them from being guilty, to keep them from being found guilty or from being arrested. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They seemed like everyone was on the surface, like everyone loved them. And then when this happens, all the other dirt kind of starts coming out.
It's like I can see beneath that surface, you know? I feel like I can see her heart. When I look at her, I just kind of see evil.
But while Frederica Wagner may have been involved in some questionable business dealings, and to some accounts, Billy Wagner may not have been the best husband, we still didn't know what all this had to do with the Rodens. At their arraignment, all six members of the Wagner family pled not guilty to all charges. It is worth noting, however, that the charges against Frederica Wagner were eventually dropped, and Rita Jo Newcomb ended up taking a plea deal. There's more to tell on these grandmother stories, but we'll get to all that later.
According to official court documents, all four of the Wagner family are considered trigger pullers, meaning each one of them had a hand in killing the Rodens that night, which means they drove house to house one at a time, killing eight people.
It's also been speculated that Angela Wagner was really the mastermind of this whole plan. When you look at her picture, for example, her mugshot, she just looks like a regular mom that you would see at the market. She doesn't at all fit the profile that I have in my head of what a serial killer or a mass murderer should look like. And if she did do this, why? Did she put this plan together because she wanted to protect her own family? And if so, the irony is, if she's found guilty because they're all being tried separately, she may never cross paths with her husband or her sons ever again.
You know, we obviously wanted to go back and see what was the lead up, what brought us to this point, and what was the intersection between the Roden family and the Wagner family. We got very curious about the relationship between Jake Wagner and Hannah Roden. Here's the anonymous Wagner relative again.
Jake, he had got involved with Hannah Roden.
Hannah Roden is the middle Roden child and murder victim. She was found dead in bed next to her five-day-old baby, Kylie. She shared a child with Jake Wagner, a two-and-a-half-year-old daughter named Sophia.
Eventually, you know, they had separated and everything, but they had separated, I guess, on bad terms.
It seemed that the demise of their relationship had sparked an ugly custody battle surrounding Sophia.
Hannah, she was, you know, refusing to allow him to see her, to get her, or any of the family to see her. And so it kind of just, it got out of hand at that point. It just set him off to the point where Jake, he had made the comment, you know, that he was going to kill her.
Next time on the Piketon Massacre. Piketon Massacre is executive produced by Stephanie Leidecker and me, Courtney Armstrong. Editing and sound design by executive producer Jared Aston. Additional producing by Jeff Shane and Andrew Becker. The Piketon Massacre is a production of iHeartRadio and KT Studios. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.